Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast and beyond on today's program, This Week in America. Thank you for joining us. The year 1428, the English invasion of France has reached a point that the coming battle will decide the winner of the war between the two countries that had lasted almost 100 years. The English need more men, but the French need nothing less than a miracle. The story is told in The Angel of Lorraine, Part 3 of the Richard Cavalli Trilogy from Peter Tallon. Peter was a professional geologist after a period of prospecting in East Africa and Egypt, joined the construction materials industry, rising to managing director of a multi-million pound company. For over 40 years, he lived in Suffolk, England, the beautiful coast and countryside there giving him the background for many of his books. Peter is interested in all periods of history, now retired, giving him plenty of time to write and assist his wife Jennifer, managing the four-acre plot of land that surrounds their 200-year-old house. From England, Peter Tallon, author of The Angel of Lorraine, Part 3 of the Richard Cavalli Trilogy. He's our guest on This Week in America, coming to us from England. Peter, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Looking forward to this. Such a fascinating book, but let's go back to how this whole writing business began for you. I mentioned the background in geology, in business. What influenced you as a writer? Why did you become a writer?
Well, Rick, in my 20s, I was an exploration geologist, mapping and surveying in the Kenya Rift Valley. And after a hard day's work, I get back to the camp in the evening, no TV, no one else to talk to at that time. And I would write up my day's work, have something to eat, and then listen to the BBC World Service and read boxes and boxes of books in the evenings. And after a while, I read some of these books were really good, some were okay, and some were not good. And I thought to myself, hell, I could do better than that. and I thought, gee, I'm going to give this a try. And I started sketching out a few notes as far back as that, and it slowly developed from then.
Why did you wait before you started publishing books, writing books? Seriously, why did you think about starting back then and publishing some of the books?
Well, I did, but had a young family to think about. And
yes.
Any book writer will tell you that it's not an easy job to generate much money in. You need a few good breaks. When you've got a young family, you can't take that sort of risk. So I got a regular job in industry and kept the writing as a hobby in the background.
Our guest on This Week in America and Beyond, as I say, coming to us from England, is author Peter Tallon, author of The Angel of Lorraine, Part 3 of the Richard Cavalli Trilogy, book available, of course, wherever books are sold. You can go to bookventured.com in their bookstore and link on directly if you would like by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about the inspiration for this book, and then we'll talk about the process of writing it, because I'm sure there was a lot of research that went into this. What was it about the story that interested you to the point that you decided to write this trilogy?
Well, I live in a beautiful part of England. It's called the County of Suffolk, and very unspoilt and rural. We have a beautiful coastline and countryside, and we have lots of castles, medieval castles, and old unspoiled villages, I live in one, which just fill up with history. And I've always been interested in history anyway. And just looking at the area that I live in, there's so many things went on. Religious persecutions, wars, stuff like that, injustices, revolutions, all sorts of things, and there's so much that can be written about, and I thought I'd like to put it together in some sort of logical manner, and the 15th century, the early 1400s, a lot was going on in this part of the world, and so that's where I decided to start.
Give us a little summary of the book. I tried to a brief synopsis just in setting the stage for the interview. Summarize the book for us.
Well, it's the last book of a trilogy, as you said, and a Suffolk man called Richard Cavalli is quite a common Suffolk name, has a tragedy which happens to destroy his family, a young family, and the tragedy is caused by his evil cousin. And through a series of events, he gets drawn into the war that's been going on between England and France for nearly 100 years. He has to get a sponsor, someone who can help him. And that is a man called John Fastolf, who's a real character. And he joins his retinue and goes off to fight for the war in France. After a series of events, the English are doing pretty well, but they are running out of money. They need to finish this war as soon as they can. It all comes to a crisis at a place called Orléans in France, where the two armies draw themselves up, ready for a fight. The odds are very strongly in favor of the English, unless something like a miracle happens. And the miracle duly occurs in the form of a peasant girl called Jeanne, or in English, Joan, who eventually became known to the English as Joan of Arc, and turned the war on its head, even though she came up from nothing, through the inspiration she had from voices she believed she heard from heaven. But her confidence was so strong that it affected the people around her. And in just a few months, she gave the French an unexpected victory, which changed the course of the war. You wouldn't believe it if it was fiction, but it really happened. And so I thought there's a story to be constructed around this, and that's what I tried to do.
And you do it so well in the book, The Angel of Lorraine. I mentioned this is part three. This is the three in the trilogy. When you started the Angel of Lorraine, did this start off in your mind to be a three-parter, or did it just evolve as you were telling the story?
No, when I started it off, I always had the story would end up with the story of Joan of Arc. So that was going to be towards the end of the book. I didn't realize it was going to be a trilogy. I thought it would just be a book. But when I got down to writing it, I'd done a few hundred pages and realized I hadn't even got halfway. I thought I have to split it up and make it into two books. And then it became three. And even then, as a trilogy, I had to cut out an awful lot of the stuff I'd researched and originally written in the original manuscript to make it, to keep the pace going and to make it digestible to a normal reader.
And if somebody's thinking, boy, this is interesting, but I don't know if I've got the time, you know, to read all three, these basically are all standalone episodes, books, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. You can read the Angel of the Rain, which is the last one. Of course, the Angel of the Rain is Joan of Arc.
Yes.
You can read the last one, and it's a perfectly satisfying story without reading the previous two. I have a load of readers who read for me, read my drafts before they're published, and they've all made a point of saying, you must make sure the story stands alone. And so thanks to their help, I have done.
And of course, as you finish one, you'll want to go on and read the other two in the trilogy series, The Angel of Lorraine, Part 3 of the Richard Calverley trilogy. Peter Tallon, our guest on the program, book available at bookventure.com, at the bookstore, Amazon, the usual places. Link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go directly to information on Peter's books, all three in the trilogy. Who does this book appeal to? And I'm thinking if you're one that really enjoys history, that's got great appeal. If you just really like a good story, this basically appeals to everyone, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And what is particularly satisfying is I've had a lot of good reviews from women because it was a very male-dominated time. And, you could argue it still is. But it was very difficult for women to be decision makers. But it turns out, when you go into it more depth, there were a lot of influential women who actually were deciding what their menfolk would do. And this is very much a case in Joan's story. And the mother of the mother-in-law of the French king had a huge influence in what he did and how he received Joan. Without her, the story wouldn't have happened.
No, and it's such a fascinating read, The Angel of Lorraine. We're talking about Peter Tallon, the author, coming to us via Skype from England on today's program. You talk about the powerful women pulling the strings of the men. Let's talk about Joan herself. Tell us a little bit about what you realized in doing the research for Joan.
Well, interestingly, the research for Joan was not difficult because it's a very well-covered period of history. And there are a lot of French books that have been translated into English, which give a great deal of detail. And the only problem is what to leave out, not to find what to put in.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, she claimed to hear heavenly voices. I think most people know that. And I'm not taking a view as to whether she did or not. But she was a truly remarkable character in her own right. Only quite small, smaller than average in height, but with a tremendously powerful personality, which seems to have come either from some sort of mental disorder or from heavenly voices, whichever. But the fact is, her confidence, her absolute confidence in an ultimate French victory, infected all the men around her. And from a series of humiliating defeats, she turned sheep into lions, and then suddenly the French were like the French of old, the Crusaders of old, and they became a very different kettle of fish for the English to handle. So she was a strong character in her own right, without any shadow of a doubt.
You know, it's interesting how you develop characters. In this case, richly developed characters throughout the book. Joan of Arc, all of us are familiar with her, but for many people, we'll go into more depth as we read The Angel of Lorraine. This will give us sort of a clearer knowledge on who she was. Talk about the responsibility, developing the character, but for many people, as I say, this will be the most intimate look at Joan of Arc that we've ever had.
I think you're right. In a novel form.
Yes.
I mean, if anyone is interested, there's a huge amount of contemporary material that was written about her. But in the sense of using her as an example to follow, for example, she was so extraordinary that she could, a peasant girl, came from nothing to become the dominant personality in French history for only a very short period of time, yet changed her history completely. She must have been an extraordinary girl, and she died when she was 19. Just think of that. And yet she changed world history.
You know, it's interesting, as we read history, we realize, of course, history repeats itself. The old saying goes, and it's so true, but we can certainly learn from history. Does this story have any relevance today, do you think?
Well, only insofar as that people 600 years ago had similar hopes and aspirations, strengths and weaknesses as people in our modern world. And I think one of the sad things is it also proves that in real life, the bad guys don't always lose.
That is so true, and we see that every day, unfortunately. Peter Talon, our guest on the program, The Angel of Lorraine, Part 3 of the Richard Cavalli Trilogy. It's now available at bookventure.com in the bookstore. I'll go back to Joan, a couple minutes left in the program. What do you think made her so successful? And so successful at a very young age, as you talk about. What was the key to that success, do you think?
Well, I think there were two things. I've already referred to the fact that she was an inspirational leader.
Yes.
And she had a large dose of luck. Clearly, she believed her leadership came from the heavenly voices who drove her forward. And that's clearly where her confidence came from. And that, of course, as I said earlier, affected those who came into direct contact with her. But her luck came from timing. Just as she made her appearance on the world stage, the French monarchy and leaders at last realized that they were going to have to modernize their army if they're going to have any chances of winning. More on the lines of the professional paid English army instead of the old-fashioned feudal levy where men were fought only because their masters ordered them to. So, consequently, Joan, or Jeanne, who had no concept at all of the mundane but essential matters of supplies, logistics, feeding and equipping an army, financing them, she was surrounded by men who believed in her, but men who also had the skills and knowledge to carry out these tasks for her. She often drove them insane with her demands, but they still enabled her to do the things that she was good at, namely leading from the front, taking risks, and inspiring her soldiers. Without that luck, again, I don't think she could have done what she did.
Was she a medieval miracle, do you think?
Well, nobody really knows, though the Catholic Church claims she was. And she was canonized in 1925, I believe. She should have been canonized a lot sooner, I think, because she only wasn't because she recanted at the last minute, but then changed her mind again. But I was brought up as a Roman Catholic myself, and all I would say is that a young peasant woman who could stop the French army of the time from swearing and using prostitutes, as she did, that was near miraculous, in my opinion. Whether the whole essence of Joan was a miracle, I can't tell you. I can just describe what happened and enjoy writing it.
Well, and you do describe very vividly in the book The Angel of Lorraine, Part 3 of the Richard Calverley Trilogy. Peter Tallon, the author, our guest on the program. Take a minute here at the end. I love where you live. What, 4 acres, 200-year-old house? As a historian, have you figured out what all went on in that house and on those grounds? Or is that like maybe coming up with something new each day when you walk through the house and walk on the grounds?
Well, we have actually found out about it. Although the house we live in is 200 years, it goes back to 1800. The site on which it's built goes back to the 12th century, the 1100s. It was originally a moated farmhouse, and the moat is still there. Was designed not to keep so much to keep marauders and bad guys out, but to keep the animals in. The house has probably been burnt down 4 or 5 times on the site before this present one was built. So we know it goes back to medieval times, but I've never found anything of an archaeological nature on the site, and I sincerely hope I don't, because the powers that be, if you find something of interest archaeologically, suddenly slap orders and restrictions on what you can do on your own land.
Yes. Well, what are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on another trilogy, as it turns out. I'm halfway through book 2. It's called Anno Domini, and it's about it's a secular view of what happened during the life of Christ. It's not going to win me any friends amongst Christians, but there are sources which describe Jesus Christ as a great man, of course, but as the son of a Roman soldier, and that is what Jewish scripture talks about. I've actually written the story around about that factor, and also the guy with the worst publicity in the history of the world, maybe apart from Adolf Hitler, Judas Iscariot. A recent finding of an original Gospel of Judas in Egypt, in a cave, puts a very different light on that character, and that actually is what inspired me first to write about it, because I said not all the good guys lose, but sometimes not all the bad guys lose,
right,
but sometimes the good guys don't win either. And the latest Gospel of Judas that's been discovered suggests he might not have been a bad guy after all.
Boy, you have my attention now. Hurry up and finish up this trilogy, because I can't wait to have a chance to read it and hopefully be able to talk about it as well. Peter Tallon, our guest on the program, coming to us from England. He's the author of The Angel of Lorraine, Part 3 of the Richard Calverley Trilogy, the book available at bookventure.com in the bookstore, book available at Amazon. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to information on Peter's book. Peter, a pleasure having you with us on the program. We'll stay in touch. Good luck on the next trilogy. Like I say, can't wait to have a chance to talk about it. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much for letting me talk to you, Rick.
It was a pleasure. Peter Tallon, our guest on the program, author of the book The Angel of Lorraine, Part 3 of the Richard Cavalry Trilogy, book available at bookventures.com at the bookstore. All the information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.